Second Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's unite together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the dear Saviour of whom we have been singing, the One who died an atoning death for us. We praise Thee tonight for such love, such grace and mercy, for the Lord Jesus who stood in our stead and paid the price for our sin in full. We thank Thee that He went all the way to the cross of Calvary, and our sins were laid upon Him and carried away forever. We thank Thee that we have a standing in Christ, and therefore we can come to Thee now through the merit of our Saviour and upon the grounds of His precious blood. We do not trust in anything of ourselves, but we have nothing to give Thee. We have nothing to offer Thee. Nothing that would in any wise make us accepted with God. But we thank Thee for Jesus and His blood and righteousness, and this standing that we now have, that we might approach unto our God and to pray for His blessing upon this time together. We thank Thee for the word of the Lord that will be opened shortly. We pray that You'll bless Your servant as he comes to minister the word. May the Reverend Kenny know the fresh anointing of God the Holy Spirit. We praise thee for the one who comes alongside the preacher in times when the Lord's word is opened and gives him help and unction and power and freedom and liberty in the preaching of the word. May thy child experience such this day. We pray that God will open his mouth and fill his mouth with words for the Savior. May Christ be exalted. May Christ be seen. May we come this day and sit at the feet of our blessed Savior and learn from him. We think, Lord, of the soldiers that sat beneath the cross when Jesus was crucified, and how your word tells us that sitting down they watched him there. Lead us to Calvary. Help us to see our dear Savior. Speak to our hearts. We do pray these things in the precious and the prevailing name of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen. We're turning in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 23 for our Bible reading. The Gospel of Luke and the chapter 23. Commencing to read at verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his precious and infallible word to every heart. We're going to join together in the singing of the hymn, Give Me Thy Heart. Thank you.
is good to be here, and I want to thank the Reverend Park for leading the meeting and also for reading God's precious word. Now, we are in Luke chapter 23, and that is a very precious portion of Scripture because it brings us to the very heart of the gospel. I would want to draw your attention to the verse 39. And it says there, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." It is a beautiful portion of Scripture whenever we think especially about the penitent thief. And he was the one hanging beside the Lord Jesus Christ who was saved at the 11th hour of his life. He was snatched as a brand from out of the burning. And it is beautiful to see the change which took place in his life. At the first, he had joined with his companion in crime, and they had railed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He joined in with the mocking and with the scorning of the Saviour. But something happened, and it was the working of God the Holy Spirit. Because nothing other than the working of God the Holy Spirit upon the heart of an individual will ever turn a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about that penitent thief, when he turned to the Saviour, he actually showed great faith. For he believed that the Lord Jesus Christ had a kingdom. And he believed that the Saviour was going to that kingdom. So here was a man who was approaching death, and he believes now in the hereafter. He believes in eternity. And believing that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to that kingdom, he looks to the Lord for mercy. And he said to the Lord, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And my, what a reply he received from the lips of the Saviour. And if ever a soul in the whole Word of God had the assurance that they would be in heaven, it was this man. Because the Lord replied to him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And what a great trophy of grace the penitent thief is. But yet, there was another thief. And it is to the other that I want to turn our attention for a few moments. And that's a very sad scene, because here with the other thief, we have one who showed no evidence of the grace of God in his life. He showed no evidence of changing and turning to the Saviour. In fact, he went out into eternity with words of blasphemy upon his lips. And as we think about the other thief, I want you to notice firstly the conduct of this thief. He is described as the malefactor. You can see that in verse 32. "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death." And verse 39, "And one of the malefactors." And that's the one that we're looking to. And so if you're thinking about his conduct, he's one who was a malefactor. And that word simply means a criminal. He was a common criminal. He's one who had broken the law. In Isaiah 53, you have a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet there was able to write, he was numbered with the transgressors. And here's the fulfillment of that particular prophecy. The Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary being numbered with the transgressors. And here's the criminal, the one who has transgressed and broken the law of God. And here you can see the individual who is facing the consequences of a sinful lifestyle. When you compare the gospel writers, Matthew's the one who actually tells us the crime that he was guilty of. It tells us of the two thieves in Matthew chapter 27. And so this man, being a malefactor, being a criminal, being a transgressor of the law, he was a thief. He had stolen. He had violated God's holy law. The eighth commandment says, "Thou shalt not steal." And here's a man who had no regard for God nor for God's law. He had transgressed God's law. He had broken God's law. He was a thief. Now, if you have ever been on the receiving end of a thief, one who has stolen for you, that will give you some indication of just how heinous an act this really is. An individual who had no thought for God and no thought for his fellow man, he steals his fellow man's possessions. That's the sort of life that he lived. That was the conduct of this man. But now his sinful lifestyle has caught up with him. And he's facing here the consequences of his actions. You know, it's worth pointing out at this point that while we may never have stolen or been found guilty of being a thief, we have still sinned. And we have broken God's holy law. You could go down the moral law that's summarized there in the Ten Commandments, and you would have to see that you have violated God's law, because our shorter catechism teaches us that sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And so in this sense, we are all transgressors. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But this particular individual now, facing the consequences of his actions, he's nailed to the tree, and even at this stage, his conduct does not change. There's no sign of a change of heart with this man, even though he's on the very brink of eternity. You know, sometimes you could have an individual that has lived a very hard and a very sinful life, but perhaps disease grips their body. And they know that their days are numbered. They know that they're facing death and they're going out into eternity. And it would show something of a change of heart, and they would begin to have a more sympathetic approach to the things of God. And they're willing to listen to that word of witness that they need to prepare to meet the Lord. And some become very open to the gospel when they know they're going out into eternity. But not this man. Not this man. He remains just as hard and just as stubborn in his sin. And he's railing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see there that verse 39, and one of the malefactors, and it's this man, one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him. And the word railed there is the word blasphemy. And so in railing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he's blaspheming against the Lord. He is verbally attacking the Lord in the most vicious fashion. And he's saying to him, "If thou be Christ, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us." And of course, he was questioning the person, the sonship of the Lord Jesus, questioning the fact that he was the Messiah, God's anointed. "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Do you know, when you think about that, it was impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ to do both. Oh, he could have saved himself. He could have come down from the cross. But if he had done, he could not save anyone else. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And man needed that perfect sacrifice. And therefore, for the Lord Jesus Christ to save himself, he could not save others. But thank God he did not come down from the cross. Thank God he remained upon the cross. The blessed Son of God shed his precious blood, laid down his life in sacrifice. It was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, and he said, "We believe because he stayed on the cross." And the hymn writer used those words. He didn't come down. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ stayed upon the tree and he paid the price for our redemption. The pity is that this poor thief that we are considering, he could not grasp that truth. And he continues to rail upon the Saviour. But verse 40, his companion in crime said, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? That's a picture of many today in society. No fear of God. Here's a man who's facing death on the very threshold of eternity. And he's no fear of God. It's a fearful thought. The conduct of this thief. But I want you to think about the condemnation of this thief. And you can see that that word is used there in verse 40. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? A man who was facing condemnation, that word is speaking of one who has been charged with a particular crime, one who has been judged for that crime, one who's been found guilty of that crime, and one who has been sentenced for that crime. He's condemned. His friend would have been thinking perhaps more about the earthly condemnation. And because of that earthly condemnation, he had broken the law of the land and he was being put to death as a criminal. But even with that earthly condemnation, he came to a very terrible end. And it's John's Gospel who tells us how it ended for this man. That tells us there in John chapter 19 and the verse 32 that a group of soldiers were coming there to the three who were hanging upon the crosses at Calvary. They were coming to speed up their death, and they come there with clubs and with the spear. And of course the Lord Jesus Christ was dead already, but the thieves weren't dead already. The soldiers there are going to take the club and they're going to break the legs of the thieves. You think of what a terrible end that was. The last few moments of their lives. The breath is ebbing away from their body. And if that wasn't bad enough, they're going to be battered and their legs are going to be broken to pieces. It was a very sorrowful and a very painful end. But that was the earthly condemnation. There's a greater condemnation. Because this man, it would appear, went out into eternity without ever turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a terrible way to die. To stand under the condemnation of Almighty God and to face the wrath of God in hell. This man was condemned. But as we come to a close, I want to think in closing about the companion of this thief, because as we mentioned by way of introduction, there were two thieves. And while they had much in common, the other one showed that there was a great change in his life. My both had that same wicked background. Both were receiving the due reward for their deeds. Both hung beside the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Both witnessed him suffering. Both witnessed the cries of the Saviour from the cross. But the contrast is this. His companion received the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, but this thief rejected him. His companion in crime repented of his sin and turned to the Lord. This man refused to repent and to return to the Lord. One man was given that wonderful promise of paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. This thief died without hope, facing the condemnation of Almighty God. The penitent thief goes to heaven. But the thief who did not repent, he went to hell. What a contrast there is here when you think of these two men. yet they're representative of the whole of society. Representative of every gathering. We have to ask ourselves which thief best represents us. Do we acknowledge a time in our lives whenever we came to the Lord, acknowledging our sin and repenting of that sin and asking the Lord for forgiveness? Or have we never changed? And we stand in danger of that same condemnation. As we have thought about this thief, I want you to learn from him, but I don't want you to follow him. I want you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in him and have that great promise that when it comes your time to depart from this scene, it will be absent from the body and it will be present with the Lord forevermore. May God bless his word to each of our hearts. Let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee it is a word that is able to make us wise unto salvation. And for any who will hear this word and who are unconverted, unprepared for eternity, give, O God, that grace that they might come and trust in the only Saviour of men, know the forgiveness of their sin, and know that it is well with their soul for eternity. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with each one, both now and ever. We ask it in the Saviour's great name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.